So I had quite a number of passages that I was going to continue with this morning. And let me just start with just a passage from the beginning of Paul's letter to the Romans. And right at the beginning, he says to the people that he's writing to that he is a servant. He's basically a servant and a called apostle that has been set apart for the gospel of God. And he says, the gospel that he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. And Paul goes on to say that through him we've received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And then he says, you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. So I've been sharing a little bit in the theme of Easter. There's this season. You know, Easter's not meant to be just a weekend or a long weekend or a holiday. It's not just meant to be a day when we contemplate the resurrection. It's meant to be a time, you know, weeks, a season. Some churches take 40 days right up to Pentecost. Just reflecting on the significance of what Christ has done for us. And so this coming Thursday is a high point in the church calendar that many of us have forgotten, is Ascension Day. And Ascension Day, in actual fact, is one of the most important events for us, because we celebrate this, not only that Jesus was resurrected from the grave, but that he ascended to the Father, that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And Hebrews says he continually is in a place of authority and power and position where he prays for us. So Paul alludes to that now. He says, you know, that through the Spirit of holiness, he was appointed Son of God in power by the resurrection from the dead. And so what I was saying last week is that in actual fact, Jesus has this new exalted status. He came as a man. We know that he was Messiah, that he was God's son. But when he rose from the grave, something changed. Colossians said he defeated the power of death. He made a public display of the evil of this world. And Satan and all his forces could not hold him in the grave. So he not only paid for our sins, but he rose to be the firstborn from the dead, so that we would know where we're going. That we're not just forgiven, that we're not just, you know, part of God's family, but that we too will be resurrected like Jesus to spend eternity with him. That sin and death and sickness and evil will no longer have a hold on us because of this unique status. And so Paul then goes on to say in Ephesians, and I just love the letter of the Ephesians, a long passage, I'm not going to share it with you this morning, but Paul says this. He says, Christ's unique status in a position of power and authority gives us a new status. And that is not just forgiveness, as I said. It's not just that we're going to heaven. Paul says in Ephesians, he says, God sees us seated with him in heavenly places. And that becomes incredibly powerful. You know, so like Jesus' resurrection and ascension has changed, in actual fact, the way not only we see the world, but the way we see ourselves. We too now are heirs, sons and daughters, heirs to an eternal kingdom. And we're meant to view ourselves with Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father. And look, we could share on that all day. But it gives us such pause to just consider who we are because of the resurrection and the ascension. What God has done with us and for us. And so in that sense, this new status that we have comes with a bit of a bite. You know, it comes with, there's a sting in the tail, sometimes I like to say it like that. Because this new status comes with new responsibility. We, in actual fact, have now a role to play. It's not just, oh, cool, what has God done for us? It's like, what does He want us to do in His world? And that, in actual fact, is the exciting part. So, just to go back to Paul in Romans, and there's one in Luke chapter 24 in that as well, is that Paul says, because of Christ's resurrection, we, talking about himself and other apostles and those he writes to, have received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience of faith. This message is meant for the whole world. So if we think, I wanted to share a little bit this morning just around this concept of just story. If we think of God's great plan and story for us. Sorry, that's fine. I shared on Easter Sunday, and there's these links that I like to make. So if we just take a step back and we look at the grand story of the Bible, we see that from Genesis, we were created by a God that wanted to share His world with us. God's plan in his Trinitarian embrace was not just to keep what He had to Himself. He creates this magnificent world. And the pinnacle of His creation, He creates humanity. You and I, the rest of the history of humanity on this planet, in His image, to share what He has done with Himself and with one another. And that is the purpose story of Genesis is so key, because then as we continue to read the story, we see that as often as we lose it, as often as we fall, as often as we get into idolatry and we just read the story of Israel and it's just up and down, God does amazing things and God's people let Him down in amazing ways. And it just goes on and on and on. And then we realize, but it's like you and I continue to do the same thing. There are days and there are weeks and there are months that we're like, hey, God and I, we just, you know, it's like, God, we just chabas, you know, it's like everything's great. Then like a few days later, you're like, can I just go hide somewhere in the garden? And that's a story that has perpetuated itself. And because of this incredible, loving, faithful God, He pursues us. And He insists that we would be a part of His plan. And so the story of the garden culminates again in another garden, in an empty garden tomb, where the first witnesses, actually the women, encounter Jesus and they go, oh, they thought He was the gardener. You know, it was like, that's who they thought He was. And in actual fact, well, He is. Because He came to restore again and bring back again our role in the garden. He made Adam and Eve for a purpose. And the purpose was that with him, we would have a role in this world. That we would steward creation and the world with him. And so the resurrection reclaims the story. And it brings us back into that story where we, in actual fact, again, are not, we don't stick in Good Friday. It's not, there's a new covenant, my sins are forgiven, I'm going to heaven. It culminates in the fact that God says, we're back to where we were. You have a role to play. You have a place in the garden. And this exalted state where Paul is like, and I say that I can't just preach on this morning. We need to think and reflect and pray and say, how does this affect my life? That the Father sees us in a completely new way and wants to use us, each of us, in a unique way in his world. And so, quite simply, we won't go into all of it. It's the Gospels end with what is often called the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is Jesus then saying, go into all the world and share this message. This wasn't just for you, it's for everyone. But that was the story of Eden in actual fact. And even where God chooses a special people for himself in Abraham, even right there in Genesis 12, what we often miss is it's for the whole world. Israel was called for the world. We often miss that. And Jesus comes again to reclaim God's plan for the world. And so Paul talks about his apostleship. And in all his letters, he then starts talking to people as his co-workers. He uses a whole, called ambassadors, and there's all kinds of things that he uses. But he talks about co-workers. And I thought of this with commission, the Great Commission. It's a co-mission. I like to think, God, you've got a big world, and it's your problem. You know, it's like, what can I do? You know, maybe I can pray, or, you know, it's like, it's a big problem. It was a problem before Ukraine. It was a problem before the events in Palestine and Israel last October. There was work to do. Now I'm like, okay, I don't know. And God goes, I have a people that I've called. And I have a mission. God is on a mission from Genesis right till the end of the age. And then he says, and I've got a commission because we have been commissioned. And that becomes a huge challenge. I said the sting in the tail. But at the same time, it's this incredible privilege and opportunity. So where I'd like to sort of land this morning is that we contemplate, each of us, God has done something so amazing for us, but it's put us in a different place. It's given us a role. And the question is, what is my role? So many, you know, you can, the people here that, you know, the kids have gone out, maybe that school and their role is school. There's some people here that maybe you're retired, you're in an old age home. I remember Terry always used to say, you don't retire, you retire, as in attire. You know, T-Y-R-E. And so in that sense, so you can think in terms of your work, and you can change jobs, and you can, you know, retire, and you can go on holiday. You don't find that in the biblical story. In terms of our role in this world, in terms of work, yes. But in terms of our role, whatever stage you're at, looking for a parent, feeling lost in this world, stick with me and we're going to end with this. Whatever place and position you have, you have a role. And God says, this is a commission. And I know a whole lot of quotes from one of my favorite Bible teachers, but we'll pocket for next week. We'll have to come back next week, pups. All right. But I think we just need to pause and pray. And then maybe there's some folk that we can pray with. But let's just start by just presenting that question. Because I want God to keep poking and prodding everyone. And my question, Lord, is, what is our unique role at this time in our lives? We parents, partners, grandparents, can be working between jobs. We can have friends, family. But Lord, we say, in your mission, in this great story of yours, where do we work with you?